I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful to God for this opportunity that he has given me to share the word with you. And I'm also thankful to Pastor Sam and the entire pastoral team for accepting that I stand here and speak for God. Few days ago, everywhere in the United States, everybody in the United States was celebrating Thanksgiving. People had to travel long distances. Some had to fly to get to their destination. And all was for a purpose. People had different motives for that celebration of Thanksgiving. There are people who came in to celebrate because for them it is a time to give thanks to God for all the blessings he has bestowed on them. For others, it was just a reunion. It was just a gathering. It was just a time to eat turkey and celebrate. In fact, in some houses, there are some leftover that are still there in the refrigerator. But all this is over now. It is over. But something else has gotten into the pipeline. Christmas. When you go to the store, things have changed. The stores are packed with stuff now. Even the flow of people inside has changed. People are going in to buy stuff, to buy gifts and new stuff for themselves. And to attract more people to the stores, they even dropped the prices so that people come in and get some more. Yesterday, I saw a TV, 55-inch, for $296. And that is those new TVs. It's a 55-inch for this price. Woo, if I had money, I would just take it. All this in preparation for Christmas. When you go to the store, listen to the music. That soft music, the carols, Christmas ones. All this to attract people to prepare themselves for Christmas. But the question is that, what do you do to prepare yourself for Christmas? The businessmen are really prepared for Christmas, and they are ready to get all your money. But you yourself, what do you do to prepare for Christmas? In many houses right now, people are so busy cleaning the house. They are cleaning from top to the bottom, making sure that everything is okay. In the dining room, things are being pulled here and there to create enough space for the Christmas tree. Everybody in the house is busy putting up the lights from top of the tree to the bottom and other ornaments and trimmings around the branches and other things in the corners of the house, making sure that the house looks like Christmas. They are preparing. We are all getting ready to get ready for Christmas. But that is not the final thing. The final in the houses is that We sit down now, make a list of gifts that we are going to buy, those that we want, and those that we need. Making those lists. People are busy making the lists. And how many times are they going to the stores, to the shops, to buy this and this? In fact, it won't be a Christmas time if one doesn't go 4 or 5 times to the mall. We are all busy going here and there, shopping for the Christmas. All this illustration is giving us an idea of how we should prepare for Christmas. So 4 points in the pipeline. When we truly prepare for Christmas, there is a personal cleansing that goes on. Remember, I've just talked about the house being cleaned. Secondly, when we truly prepare for Christmas, there is a new arrangement of priorities going on. Third, when we truly prepare for Christmas, there is a decorating of the heart going on. And finally, when we truly prepare for Christmas, there is a receiving and a giving of gifts going on. Let's go to the first one. The cleansing of the heart. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." The word blessed, which is Makarios, and according to the Strong's Greek dictionary, it literally means happy, which means happy are the pure in heart, for they will be seeing God. To see God, we have to be pure in our hearts. This seems to be very simple. Something that, what is it? Cleaning my heart is not a problem. I don't know about you. But as for me, there are times when I feel like my heart gets more polluted than being pure. I still get angry so many times. You know, sometimes when you are driving on the highway and suddenly somebody just cut off and just come off and you have to hit the brakes quickly because you might hit him. And that annoyed me. And how many times I've gotten angry and my wife would tell, "Why don't you keep quiet? Just change to the other lane. Because this will be happening. We are still on the way." You see, she heard what I said and said she thinks that it is not good what I said. And in my state of anger, and said, "No, what you should be doing, instead of speaking, just move to the other lane and continue." That is anger. How many times I lost temper over some stupid things, some stupid problems, and said, "Why did I get angry here?" How many times I feel frustrated because I've been trying to do this, but it keeps failing. It looks like all my plans in life are all failing. Maybe none of this applies to you. Maybe you are not like me and you have your life all your life completely together. Maybe you have no problem with the pure heart issue. But for those of you who are like me and struggle with being pure in the heart, I have a question for you. How can we become pure in heart? And what do we have to do? How can we become pure in heart, and what do we have to do? The answer here is nothing but ask God. There is nothing we can do yourself to clean your heart, but ask God to do it. Hallelujah. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David did the same thing. He asked God. What did he ask? He said, "Create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me, God, a new heart and renew a right spirit. My spirit needs to be renewed within me. And as a result, God granted David's request and gave him a clean heart. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for me today. But what you have to do is to ask him. We have to ask him. Now, you might not be in the list of what I said, but think of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Read those verses for yourself. There is a long list of stuff there, and they are called the acts of the flesh. Those acts of the flesh, look at them. Maybe you will find yourself somewhere. If you do, what will you do? Go, ask God to renew your heart, clean it up for you, and he will do that. I have a story written by Edie Melton. She was writing about her son who was deployed in the Middle East. When their son was going, his father, who is very good in computers, gave him a very nice good working computer so that he can keep in touch with them. When he got there, it didn't take long that the computer could not work anymore. He got frustrated. But the good thing is he didn't throw it away, or he didn't even give it away to somebody, because in fact it was useless. It was not working. But he kept it. When he came back, people were happy in the family to see him back. But what they noticed is that wherever his stuff were, there was dust. There was dust in his room. There was dust in the bathroom. And when they they washed his clothes in the washing machine, there was dust from the Middle East. And the worst of it, when his father tried to see what was wrong with the computer, when he opened the computer, oh, this computer that was in good working condition, what he found was more dust than anyone could imagine. Everything that could work internally that would cause the computer to work was fully covered with dust. Everything, the wires, chips, and all the boards covered with dust. And because of the dust, the computer could not make the connections that it needed for it to function. Now, when you think of this story, his father's work of restoring the computer into a working condition, this applies to our lives too. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit, the Father took 2 days. He took him 2 days to clean up the computer, patiently working on the computer. And when he reconnected, the computer bounced, started working, and was fully working as it was before he left for the Middle East. Just like the soldier's father, the Holy Spirit is always available to patiently mop up the mess we have made in our lives. The Holy Spirit is there, busy, patiently waiting for us to ask him, to give him the time to do what he can, to cleanse us, to clean everything so that we can reconnect with God. You know, the dust of this life slows down our communication with God, our interaction with God. The dust of the problems that we endure slows us from keeping in touch with God. You see, there is a lady in the Congo, was the wife of one of the presidents, the former president of CMA Church in Congo. As she was teaching women in the seminary, she said, "God, this is what I do." You know, when we are cleaning dishes in the Congo or in some other places, not everybody has dishwashers. So we clean dishes in the basin, and then we throw water away. So she says, as she was cleaning the dishes, she's saying, "God, as I'm cleaning these dishes, clean my heart too. I know there is that something that is not good there. Clean it up for me." And then she goes ahead, "Now this water is dirty. I don't want to keep it. I'm going to throw it away. God, as I'm throwing this water away, throw away all the dust, all the bad things that are there in my heart, because I want to be clean." And she goes on saying that, "God," as she's mopping the floor, she said, "God, as I'm mopping this floor, mop also my heart. Don't leave any stain on it. Clean all up so that there is nothing left. I want to be clean." That is something we need every day of our lives if we want to keep connected with Christ. As we prepare for Christmas, we know that it is about the coming of Jesus, coming to be born for us. Let us be clean, just as we do for when we are waiting for a baby in the house. They make sure that the room where the new baby is coming is very tidy, is very clean and well decorated. That's what we do. Let's do it for ourselves. Let's do it in our lives as we prepare for Christmas. Hallelujah. So, the second thing is that when we truly prepare for Christmas, there is new arrangements of our priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, we read, "But seek first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. An essential part of preparing for Christmas involves arranging. Just as we arrange our home, just as we arrange things in the house, let us arrange ourselves. Let us arrange our hearts for Christmas. God wants us to arrange our hearts for Christmas. His desire is for you and me to make more room for his son in the room of our heart. We need to create more room for his son. When we make this extra room in the heart, in our heart, God blesses us with more of Christ. It is then that the blessings of God begin to rapidly flow in our lives and then overflow in the lives of others. Unless we rearrange our lives with Christ, we will not have these blessings flow in our heart and then overflow in the lives of others. Rearranging our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God, is the remedy for worry. Giving or seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the remedy for worry. You know, when you are worried, worry can lead you to do stuff that you could not believe that you did it. Worry take away hope, the hope that you have. Worry makes you feel useless. Worry makes you feel like, what can I do anymore? But if we think, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, instead of getting or being worried, we are just going to wait for what he says. All this will be given to you. He will give you what you need for your life. So, we are not prepared for Christmas until our priorities are in line. We make sure that our priorities are in line. Remember that we become so busy celebrating the season that we totally miss the reason for the season. And we become centered on shopping for the right gifts and forget to tell others of the gift, the perfect gift of God. That's what we should focus on. Telling people the perfect gift that God gave to us. Otherwise, we are not ready. But if we want to be ready for the Christmas, we have to get our priorities in line. When we get our priorities in line, now we can start decorating. When we truly prepare for Christmas, there is the decorating of the heart. What does God do to decorate our heart? Does he do it? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, we read, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's how God decorates our hearts. God decorates our hearts by guarding or emptying old things and creating something new. When he decorates a heart, he must have complete control over the whole life. He must have complete control of your life. Don't give Jesus a portion of your life and keep a portion for yourself. Don't ask God to come in your life and don't give him full control of you. Otherwise, the work will not be done. That is not God, what God wants. God wants us to give ourselves completely to him. A total surrender. I surrender all, everything that belongs to me, I give to you. That's what God wants. Now, I have this kitchen, which is brand new, from London. And it is written London. And I need a volunteer to come here. Somebody, a volunteer. Anybody to come. Thank you. I'm going to give this chain. And this is our me and Ruth, gift, Christmas gift to him. That's yours. Is there anything wrong? Anything wrong?
Yeah, your finger's still through the hole.
Oh. So you don't have control of it?
Well, I don't want to hurt you to get it.
Okay. But you can get it, but if you... right now, I'm holding a part of it.
Absolutely, you are.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, let's see.
I got it now.
You got it all?
Yeah, I got it all.
Okay, you can do whatever you want to do with it. And it is all yours.
It's all mine.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. That's what we do to God. We give him ourselves and still holding something for ourselves. That is not total surrender. Hallelujah. Let us give ourselves completely to God during this season of Christmas. Those stuff that are still there in the heart, ask him to clean them. Our priorities, make them align with his will. Let him decorate our hearts. Give us a new heart and renew our spirit within us. And finally, when we truly prepare for Christmas, there is receiving and giving of gifts. Pastor Dan read from John 1, verse 1 to 12. And in verse 12, the Bible says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John is making it clear that we are to welcome Christ in our lives. You see, the meaning of the word receive is to welcome and to accept. That's the Greek word for receive, those who received him. It means welcoming him and accepting him. Christ must also be believed. We need to believe in him. And in believing in him, that action of believing in Jesus Christ changes and transforms our life because we become children of God. We become children of God. God has given us an incredible gift. By faith in Christ, we become children of God. We become members of the family of God. We are escorted in, ushered in the family. We are welcomed in the family. Literally, we are given permission to join the family of God. By faith in Christ, we become part of eternity. You know, when we become members of the family of God, we become citizens of the kingdom of God. I'm so glad to become a citizen of America. I'm happy to have my passport, and it reads, United States of America. The world is yours. That's what it reads. The world is yours. And everybody in the world wants to come here to the U.S. They want to come and settle. And they want to come and become a citizen of the United States. And everyone here is so proud to be an American. That's good. That's good stuff. But you know, later on, Banda, now citizen of the United States, will be called late Banda. Now, when they call me late Banda, I'm no longer in the list of citizens of the United States. But on the other hand, if before I become late Banda, if I had already invited Christ in my life, if I had already committed my life to him, I have already surrendered all of me to him. On the other hand, I've not lost my citizenship. I will eternally remain citizen of heaven. That's what we need to long for. That's what we need to strive for. That's what we need to work for. That's what we need to pray for on a daily basis. Praying, longing to become citizen of the heaven. Citizen of that country where there is no death anymore. No sickness. Today, many people are sick. I'm sick too. But there, eternally happy. But to get there, we have to get our heart cleaned. We must get our priorities in line. We must have God to decorate our hearts, renew our hearts, and give us a new spirit. And then, we must pass on to the giving of gifts. You know, the giving of gifts is something very good. That morning when people are gathered around the tree, it is time to get my box and know what is inside. Look at the faces of people, how they light up. They are full of joy. They are expecting the unexpected. And when they tear the wrap and open, you hear some people say, "Yeah, this is what I was looking for. I just expected this. Thank you, thank you." And that's the time of sharing gift. The joy that we have when we give gift or we receive gift, you must not be surprised that this applies to Christ too. It applies to Christ as well. There is a great joy when you give a gift to Christ. What does Christ want from you? In Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 26, we read, "My child, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways." Oh, what you need to do is to just give him your heart. That's the greatest gift you can give Christ during this time of Christmas. Give him yourself, not part of yourself, all of you, completely. That's what he's looking for. So Christ is waiting for a gift too. As I am waiting for a gift from somewhere, Christ also is waiting for my gift. He is also waiting for your gift. What are you going to give him during this Christmas? So, where you are with your preparation, where are you with your preparation for Christmas? Are you there? Are there some areas of your heart that need to be cleansed? Ask yourself, is there something in the list that I gave you? Maybe you need to rearrange something to make more Christ, more room for Christ in your life. Is there something that needs to be removed? Create space for Christ? Perhaps your heart is fairly barren and needs some of God's blessing and decorations. Do you want to give him full control of your life so he can decorate it? This year, the wonder of Christmas can come alive for you in brand new ways if you will open your heart and allow him to prepare you for Christmas. A quotation from Edward Elves, he is a Pilgrim's Almanac, goes, "An old abbot was found saying, 'The devil is always the most active on the highest feast days.' The surprising trick of old Scrooge is to have us so busy decorating, preparing for food, practicing music, and cleaning in preparation for the feast of Christmas that we actually miss the coming of Christ." Oh, let us prepare ourselves for Christmas before it comes and goes and we miss it. Let us get ready, and may the Lord Almighty bless his word. Amen.